Imagine a beautiful afternoon. The sun is shining and you get to enjoy it all because you just sat down on your John Deere mower. The smooth ride lets you escape into your yard. Intuitive controls make you feel like you're one with the machine. And with attachments for every season, you can enjoy it all year long. We could keep trying to put you in the moment, but to really understand what it's like to drive a John Deere mower, you just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or visit a dealer near you.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Civics 101 is supported in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
I have to confess something.
A podcast with thousands of listeners is as good a place as any, Anna.
Whenever I see an ad for retirement investing...
Money is like life. You have to decide how to get the most from it.
Which means you can retire without retiring from life.
With retirement planning and advice for what you need today and tomorrow.
I get this creeping anxiety.
I have retirement accounts, and whenever I look at them, I just try to find something else to do.
Yeah. And I think to myself, well, you know what, Hannah, you're not afraid of the future. You've been paying into Social Security since you were probably 16. You're actually pretty lucky. You've got a full-time job and a retirement savings account, and I have even used one of those retirement calculator things online. And yet...
We asked people a question. How much money do you think you'll need when you retire?
$500,000.
Maybe half a million?
Say $1 million.
Full-on stomachache.
Isn't retirement supposed to be something that you look forward to? No more working for the man. Rest of your life is just me time.
Sure. All that free time to do whatever you've always wanted to do. But then I think to myself, what am I actually going to do?
Can we pull back this existential shroud? Can we lift a little of our dread?
I think, in fact, we can. This is Civics 101. I'm Hannah McCarthy.
I'm Nick Capodice.
And today, retirement. The golden years, the autumn years, the sunset years, life at the crossroads. Can we please remove these words from our retirement vocabulary? Retirement doesn't mean that you pass into some shimmering, soft-focused cloud of obscurity.
Thank you. I hate these euphemisms. The sunset years? No wonder I don't want to think about getting old.
Yeah, I feel like these terms make us sound like we'll become generic, one-dimensional versions of ourselves after we leave the workforce and become older. Not to mention the fact that they're a way around saying the word old.
I think we put down the whole concept of old. And my mission I took on was to say the word old is not a bad word. I think it's really good to be old. I'm so much happier now than I was throughout my life.
This is Bart Astor. I called him up to talk about what we don't talk about when we talk about retirement.
I'm fascinated by the fact that we don't think about what's ahead. I mean, it's amazing. Everything becomes a surprise. I didn't know that my body would start failing, but yet it did. Of course it did.
Of course it did. It's bizarre, but I get it. Age sneaks up on you. A bad back sneaks up on you. I'm pretty sure I was 22 yesterday.
Yeah, there is a measure of existential dread that comes along with this stage of life, right? What's going to happen to my body, my brain? Will I have enough money? Can I ever retire? If I do, what is it even going to look like?
We have this image of what life is supposed to be like. And, you know, it's just not necessarily what it is. So I think that we don't think ahead. And then when we do, we're afraid that I'm going to sit around and eat bonbons. And that's going to be my retirement.
Does it have to be all lounging on the couch and eating bonbons? How do we make this transition as straightforward and predictable as possible? While Bart's helping us out with the existential, let's make the practical a little less mystifying, too. And the practical has a lot to do with government. Retirement, in a lot of ways, was designed by the federal government. There are three major things you need to think about when you think about retirement. That's Social Security, health, and savings. First up, Social Security.
Maybe you've heard the term, join the Navy and see the world. Well, I joined the Social Security Administration. I didn't see the world, but I saw a lot of the country as we moved around to different Social Security offices.
This is Tom Margineau. He worked for the Social Security Administration for 31 years in a bunch of different jobs, and these days he writes a column about Social Security and retirement. And before we do jump into Social Security as a retirement benefit, a quick caveat.
Social Security isn't just old people. What Social Security is, in a nutshell, is it obviously is old people. It's retirement benefits and widow's benefits. Those are two big parts of Social Security. But another big part of Social Security is disability benefits. We don't all stay healthy until we reach our retirement years.
You can receive Social Security benefits for as long as the Social Security Administration says your condition is one that prevents you from returning to work. For some people, that is indefinite. And then when they do reach retirement age, their disability benefits convert into retirement benefits. There's also a survivors program for spouses and children. Widows and widowers can collect part of their deceased spouse's benefit. Children can, too, until they turn 18.
All right, I got it. So Social Security helps keep people secure in all sorts of situations, right? But it seems like they're all tied to the fact that someone was working at some point.
Yes. The Social Security Administration uses a credit system. So it's similar to the way that you earn college credits as you put in class time on your way to graduation. As of 2019, for every $1,360 you earn, you get a credit, up to 4 credits a year. The minimum is 40 credits to receive benefits, which get delivered once a month for the rest of your life.
So after about 10 years, you unlock the Social Security enhancement.
Exactly.
And before we get into details, have we always had Social Security in the U.S.?
The United States actually came a little bit late to the Social Security game.
Social Security was implemented in the U.S. in 1935.
Many European countries had Social Security systems long before we started doing it, which, for example, Germany had a Social Security system going back to the 1880s.
So what was it like before we had it? It's a long time to go without having a retirement safety net.
It was something like 60 or 70% of senior citizens before Social Security were living below the poverty level. They were living with their families. A lot of senior citizens ended up living in what were called poor houses because they had essentially no money. So Social Security grew out of this era in this country when, especially growing out of the Great Depression, as a part of Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal program, some kind of system to provide some level of support for older people, and again, eventually for disabled people and widows and widowers and so on.
The Social Security Act has been changed a number of times since 1935. But initially, it was just federally administered social insurance, and we paid for it with payroll taxes.
When I look at my paycheck, and there's that little area where Social Security is taken out, that's going into the Social Security pot at the end of the rainbow, and it goes into one big pot, right? It's not just me saving for retirement.
Right, and we'll get into individual savings accounts in a bit. But, of course, if you are making more, you are paying more into it. And your employer is also paying a percentage into that pot. So if you are self-employed and wondering why your taxes seem so high, that is in part because you are paying the entirety of the Social Security tax.
So do I get more from Social Security if I made a lot more money during my life?
The more money you put in the system, the higher your benefit's going to be. You know, Bill Gates is going to get a higher Social Security benefit someday than his maid is going to get.
What does that mean? Why would billionaire Bill Gates not get $5 million a week or something from Social Security?
That has to do with something called rate of return. It's higher for people who earn lower wages over their lifetime. So Bill Gates' Social Security check, it is going to probably be higher than, let's say, his housekeeper's check. But the percentage of his total income is going to be way lower.
A rich person gets a higher Social Security benefit than a poor person. But again, as a sort of percentage of what they kicked into the system, the poor person gets a better deal out of the program. And that's one of the social aspects of Social Security, is to raise the standard of living of lower income people in retirement by giving them this higher rate of return.
I've wondered, how does the Social Security Administration know that you're ready to collect your benefits to retire? Do you tell them? Do you give them a call? Or does your employer tell them?
You have to apply with the administration. So in most cases, you can do this online or over the phone. But there are also Social Security offices in every state in the country. You've got to be a few months away from age 62 in order to do it. But there are a lot of people in this country who spend years paying into Social Security who reach that retirement age and find that they are denied benefits.
You might be pumping money into the system. Matter of fact, Social Security actuaries will tell you that illegal immigrants currently pump about $2 billion a year in taxes into the Social Security system. People who've obtained numbers through nefarious means, but they're working above the table. Frankly, of course, a lot of folks like that work under the table, but there are some who actually get a Social Security card and work above the table and are paying money into the system. They're pumping $2 billion a year into the Social Security system, but they never collect a dime in benefits, because if you're living here illegally, you're never going to get a nickel of Social Security benefit.
All right, so that's how Social Security is applied to undocumented immigrants. But I have another one I'm a little confused about. I've heard that by the time I retire, Social Security will have dried up entirely. What's the deal with that?
I have heard the exact same thing. And by the way, like, way to up the ante on existential dread, right? And this is an issue that Tom really wanted to get out of the way.
The very first presentation I ever made about Social Security, somebody got up and said, "I don't know why we're even listening to you, because we all know the program's going to be broke long before we ever get benefits." And that was 50 years ago. If that guy is still alive, he was in his 30s at the time. You know, he's in his 80s now, and he's been getting Social Security checks for 20 or 30 years now. For 50 years now, people have been telling me the system's going to go belly up before they ever have a chance to get benefits. The system's been paying these benefits for 80 years now. I'm not quite sure how long it's got to be around before people finally accept the fact that maybe it's here to stay.
The deal right now is that Social Security's excess cash, their reserves, could run out a decade and a half from now if Congress does not pass any laws to help things out. But this is not the same thing as Social Security going broke. Now, there are certainly scenarios where we might receive less money from Social Security because, say, the economy tanks or we go into a recession. But things like this, reserves running low or economic crises, have happened in the past, and Congress has reacted.
Now, certainly, over the years, the system has had, it's bumped up against various economic problems where and forecasts were that the benefits might have to be cut or something. But over the years, every time this has happened, Congress has passed some laws and made some reforms to Social Security that keep the system going.
What kind of reforms?
Things like phasing in a higher retirement age, tweaking tax rates for a period of time, adjusting the benefit formula.
Wait, adjusting the retirement age? Didn't the government sit down and say 65 is the perfect number?
Well, they did in 1935. But actually, 65 is not the national retirement age anymore. Reforms in 1983 mean that now the age is 66 and 2 months if you are on the brink of retirement right now. But by 2022, that age will be 67.
Right. So I'll be retiring at 67.
Or later, even. It really all depends on what possible future reforms look like and what your bank account looks like. Also, humans tend to be living longer. You can start collecting retirement before you retire, but your longevity might be a consideration for you.
You might outlive your savings, but you cannot outlive your Social Security. And you want to make sure that your Social Security check is robust, especially as you get much older.
This is Christina Martin for Vita. She's the Vice President of Financial Security and Consumer Affairs at AARP.
The AARP, American Association of Retired Persons.
It actually used to be the American Association of Retired Persons, but there are a lot of people who are members of the group who are not yet retired. So now they just go by the acronym, AARP. They're a pretty influential lobbying group in the U.S. that focuses on senior citizen issues.
So I lead up all of AARP's federal lobbying on retirement issues, including Social Security and pensions. And in addition to that, I also work on employment issues, housing, transportation, telecommunications, all sorts of important issues that people think about when they're getting ready to retire and they're thinking about their money.
AARP also sells memberships and lends its name to some health insurance companies for healthcare plans.
And they know when you turn 50. My friend just got home on his 50th birthday and the card was in the mail and he nearly died. So it's like Hogwarts for adults.
Yes, AARP does send you a membership invitation when you turn 50.
How do they know?
Well, in one of the articles that I read about exactly this subject, a rep from AARP said they get birthdays from, quote, companies that specialize in providing information to direct marketers. It's totally legal, even if it's...
Hey there, everyone.
Hey, folks.
The whole Civics 101 team is here in D.C. for a week. That's why you hear cars and stuff whizzing by. We are in the district to talk to the people that we talk about on a daily basis. And a lot of those people work in the executive branch.
That is the largest employer in the world.
And a lot of those people work in the civil service, where, after the assassination of James Garfield, it's a long story, they take an exam to make sure that they are the right person for their job.
But if you run a business and you're not the federal government, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all, but to match instead. With Indeed.
93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites.
23 hires are made on Indeed every minute, and their matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use it, the better it gets.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/civics.
Just go to Indeed.com/civics right now to support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast.
Indeed.com/civics. Terms and conditions apply. You need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Bums you out. Can we get back to the show, Harry?
Okay, onward.
Your Social Security check is based on your average monthly earnings. The administration pulls from the highest earning 35 years of your employment. So you can estimate, depending on your age and your highest earnings, what your monthly check will look like when you start collecting. And that number will, barring changes in the law, be the same for as long as you collect.
And the longer you wait before you decide to collect Social Security, the bigger the check will be?
To a point. After you hit the national retirement age, you actually do get a monthly bonus if you wait to collect Social Security. But that bonus will only take you to age 70. And you're not going to make more than around $3,500 a month.
Okay, so I'm not going to get rich on Social Security checks. If I made the absolute maximum in Social Security, I'd make about, what, $42,000 a year, which seems like enough if the house and the car are paid off and I don't have any unexpected medical catastrophes or want to go on vacations.
Yeah, and most people are not even going to make that much from Social Security checks. The average is closer to just under $3,000 a month.
Is that enough to live on for the rest of my life?
Very few workers have sufficient savings to really make it on just their savings. That's why we have Social Security. The idea of Social Security has always been to form the bedrock of your retirement income. And unfortunately, for a lot of retirees, it's their sole source of income. So to your question, is it ever enough? It's probably not enough to have a comfortable retirement if it's the only source of income you have, but it's sadly for many their only source of income, which is why we definitely want to talk about some other supports.
Lots of people out there depend on Social Security alone, and plenty more rely on it to make up about half of their income. So for many, many older Americans, it can make a huge difference to access various programs that make life easier to afford. And this is also where part two of the insurance puzzle comes in, healthcare.
You obviously want to think about signing up for Medicare, which is a very important benefit after you leave the workforce. And then depending on, for some folks, there are some additional benefits that a retiree can access as well. And those will include nutritional supports and some other supports that are really designed to assist retirees who have very low income in their post-work years.
There are thousands of these programs across the country to help with prescription drugs, housing issues, transportation, home care services, and the 100-plus other things that can crop up in retirement.
All right, it's time for me to confess something. My eyes just glazed over a little when you mentioned Medicare, only because health insurance is so much to comprehend. What do I need to know, bare bones?
Okay, bare bones, Medicare. Medicare is federal health insurance. It's for people 65 and older, some younger people with disabilities, and people with kidney failure. Medicare is also funded by payroll taxes. And some elderly people are eligible for Medicaid, too, which is typically free, comprehensive health care. But there is a catch.
A lot of individuals are surprised that they often will need supplemental health insurance, or that they will need to think about budgeting for the high cost of medicine. We're very focused on the high cost of drugs, and we are in the middle of a really big push, both at the federal and state level, to do something about high prescription drug prices. I want to make sure your listeners realize that the median annual income for Medicare beneficiaries is only $26,000. That is not a lot.
All right, Nick, how are we feeling about the prospect of retirement so far?
I honestly don't know if I'm going to budget for the surprise stuff. I'm terrible at budgeting, first off. What if I want to, like, travel to China or start a huge board game collection? Like, I don't want to just scrape by. Is it possible for me to not just scrape by?
Yes, Nick. We've arrived at part three of the wild world of retirement prep, savings.
Oh, man.
Here's Tom again.
The thinking was you should get about a third of your retirement income from Social Security, another third from savings or investments, and another third from maybe a pension from your employer. That was, they called it a three-legged stool.
It used to be relatively common for an employer to offer a traditional pension plan. When you left your job, your employer would provide you with retirement benefits based on a fund that they paid into and maintained. But the burden being on the employer is part of the reason that the traditional pension has become pretty rare. It's mostly government workers and a handful of private employees who get these now. After some unfortunate incidents in the 60s, including pension funds drying up, two things happened. One, Congress passed the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, ERISA, in 1974, which laid out some basic rules for retirement plans and established a corporation to cover pensions if that company does go belly up. Two, traditional pension plans started to decline.
So back in the day, a lot of people had sort of traditional pension options. That's like one leg of my retirement stool. And then maybe I've made some investments of my own, or I've saved some. That's another leg. And Social Security is the third leg.
So a Social Security benefit is roughly, for the average retiree, it represents something like 40%, 30 to 40% of their pre-retirement income. And then it's up to the person getting benefits to make up the other two legs of that stool so that it isn't a wobbly stool.
But if my pension leg is kicked off, I'm standing on a wobbly stool, Hannah. I would rather not be on a wobbly two-legged stool the rest of my life.
Okay. It is not as easy as it used to be to have a nice, sturdy, three-legged stool of retirement. But there are options. Here's Christina again.
There's been more and more responsibility put on individual workers to save for their own retirement. In 1983, only 12% of workers were being put into a 401k style savings plan. But today, at the current time, 73% of workers who are offered any kind of retirement plan at work are offered only a 401k style savings vehicle.
There are tax-incentivized retirement programs out there that can help you save. Even if your employer doesn't offer you one, you can get a retirement account with a bank or a credit union or a broker. You can also make your own investments if you're lucky enough to have the funds, or try to stash things away in a savings account. Even putting a little bit away, Christina says, makes a difference when the day comes to start planning out your retirement. Oh, and one more thing. Talk to someone who understands money. You don't have to, and really shouldn't, go through this process alone.
There are a lot of conflicts of interest in the financial advice world. They're not all disclosed. It can be difficult to know what fees you're being charged, what commissions you're being charged, what recurring fees you're being charged. It's really important to ask those questions. They can be uncomfortable questions to ask. I know it from personal experience, but it's your money. You saved it. You need it for your retirement, and you need to know what's going to happen to your money. Mm-hmm. So make sure the advice you get is best for you. And the only way you can know that is if you ask those questions.
Okay, Nick, what do you think? Is retirement less of a dark, looming forest creature now?
It is still a lot to take in. But I feel like it has gone from being something I just didn't want to face to being something that's, like, possible to face now.
And necessary to face.
Whether I like it or not. But to be honest, I'm still not thrilled with the prospect. This whole thing still means at the end of my job and getting older and dealing with all this stuff that I don't want to deal with.
I think it's time to bring Bart back in.
I'm 70. I figure I'm going to live to be 90. Could be more, could be less. I could get hit tomorrow by the bus. Okay, but I have to assume I have 20 plus years.
The foggy shroud around retirement and aging has, I think, a lot to do with the fact that we don't want to pull back that shroud. For many people, money and aging does cause anxiety, and anxiety can mean that we don't prepare for what's coming because we just don't want to look at it. So, Bart's advice? Look at it, people. It's coming.
The batter hit the ball. The ball with we know it's coming at us. I'm 64 and a half, and I have 6 months before I get on Medicare or retire or whatever. It's like, duh. I mean, it's the ball's already in the air, and it's not going to change course. It's not all of a sudden going to veer left just because I close my eyes. You know, it's coming. So I put my hand out and I catch the ball or I don't.
I want to catch the ball. I do. Though we may find the facts of retirement may be boring or intimidating, basically, we have to pay attention if we want the whole thing to be smoother, less surprising.
Nick, should we run a final test to see if things have improved in the dread department?
I'm ready.
Why are my mutual fund fees so high, my returns so low, and yet you guys keep putting up record profits year after year?
You'll see the results in the end. It's a long-term game.
It's not a game. It's my retirement. It's my family's future.
Getting real there. That was a tough one. But how do you feel?
I feel okay. I feel a little inspired, actually. How about you?
I think the shroud of dread has been lifted. I can successfully watch an entire 30-second retirement commercial without total dread.
Eyes on the prize, Hannah. It's just, I feel like there's like one big old elephant that we're kind of skirting around here.
But we're paying attention. We're looking forward. We got it down.
We're not looking all the way forward, Hannah.
All the way forward?
All stories, at least the good ones, have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And Hannah, we got to take that step into the most existential of all life stages, the final stage.
That's next time on Civics 101. This episode of Civics 101 was produced by me, Hannah McCarthy, with Nick Capodice. Our staff includes Ben Henry, Jackie Helbert, and Daniela Vidal-Ali. Erica Janik is our executive producer.
Maureen McMurray has been planning her retirement party since she was a little girl. The theme is circus.
Music in this episode by Blue Dot Sessions, Jazar, and Scanglobe.
There's so much to see and do at our website, civics101podcast.org. You can drop us a line or a donation if you're so inclined. We really, really, truly couldn't make this show without your support.
Civics 101 is a production of NHPR, New Hampshire Public Radio, and is supported in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.